Hello, all you positive heads out there. It's so good to be back with all you beautiful reflections of the one source consciousness that creates and animates all things. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we're super happy to have you here. And if you've been listening and enjoying for a while, I would be super grateful if you would please take a moment to give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It's one of the best and simplest ways to pay it forward and help others find the show so that they too can tap into the powerful perspectives and positive vibrations we are collectively emanating. The other unique and magical way to share this show is by sending any friends you think would benefit from listening to this podcast our Game with the Universe link at positivehead.com/game. Also listed in the show notes, which will serve them up a quote-unquote random episode when they click it. Just instruct them before clicking the link to close their eyes for a moment and sincerely ask the universe to cue up the episode that contains the insight and perspectives that they most need to hear at this point in their life journey, and then click to listen to whatever episode is synchronistically served up to them. I have heard time and time again from people about the incredible results they received playing the game. So just tell your friends, magical results are guaranteed or their karma back.
All right, all you positive heads, welcome back to another episode of the Positive Head Podcast. And I am not alone today. I am lucky to be here with the beautiful Karis Brown. And she is going to be helping me answer some listener questions today. But before we get into that, Karis is going to lead us through a short meditation.
Hello, 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 positive heads. It's so nice to be here with you guys. And so, because Brandon is not here manning the ship, let's just have a quick little moment of coming present and being here and bringing all of those little worries and all of those little spots where our attention might go here and now. So how about you just take a deep breath? Notice what your spine's doing. Notice what your muscles and joints and bones and ligaments are doing. Relax everything down. And let's just set the intention as we become still inside, as we become present inside, as we allow our wisdom to come down and pour through us, and as we allow our hearts to glow and expand. Let's set the intention that whatever you need to hear, whatever you need to know, whatever you need to do to activate you, to inspire you, to light you up, let that come through. And I will set the intention that it come through me. And Erica, we can set the intention that it come through you, that angels guide our voices and our words and our sonics and our harmonies. And also that your angels guide your ears and guide your heart, and guide your mind, your understanding, so that we can do some real work here today. Thank you guys for being here. This is going to be so fun.
Yeah, that was beautiful, Karis. Thank you so much.
Thank you. My pleasure.
That's a nice little change, isn't it, you guys? I don't think we've ever done that. So thank you, Karis, for that suggestion. It's an excellent idea. And I'm sure everyone loved that. Yes, yes, beautiful. So before we get into answering our questions today, we are going to read some reviews, which you all know Brandon thoroughly appreciates, and it helps people find us. So if you haven't read, or if you haven't written one yet, sorry about my words not coming out of my mouth for a second. If you haven't written a review yet, please do. They're much appreciated. So the first one today is by Els1029. And Els says, I really enjoy this podcast. From opening music to Brandon's voice, the positivity never ends. I really resonate with the content and find myself uplifted after each episode. 5 episodes a week is a major plus. One of my favorite things about the podcast is the varying songs that Brandon plays at the end of each episode. I have found some new favorites because of that. Highly recommend if you're looking for a place to expand your mindfulness and consciousness. Thank you, Els. And we have another one.
Awesome. So this one is from Ivory Goblin. What a cool name, huh? Okay, so Ivory Goblin says, this podcast came to me as one piece of a long string of synchronistic occurrences. I had lost myself to a deep, hurtful, painful, and emotionally numb darkness not long ago. I've made my way home from this forge with a newfound understanding of the naivety of the ego. Long, long stories, and here we are. This podcast is a wonderful collection of insights, experiences, and information curated by a curious and expanding host. Great job, Brandon. Keep up this important job, Z.
Excellent. Thank you, Z.
Thank you, Z.
Okay, so let's just get down to our questions. What do you think, Karis?
I think that sounds great. Yeah, we've got some good stuff to dive into.
Yeah, so we can go do. Ahead and go. All right, awesome. So our first question is from Savannah. And Savannah says, "Hey, Brandon, I just wanted to let you know I am new to Positive Heads, but I have been listening every day and I have found myself feeling more and more positive and lively. I do have a question, and perhaps you have a podcast where you've touched on this already. But basically, I was in a relationship with someone whose vibration was quite low. This person was almost always feeling angry or frustrated at some aspect of their life. And no matter how hard I tried, he refused therapy or any type of treatment to deal with his trauma and anger issues. I have since ended this relationship because it got to a point where I was, too, feeling negative. Even after having a beautiful day at work. Now he's feeling like I gave up on him and wanting me back. Personally, I feel a bit guilty for hurting his feelings, and I'm wondering if I'm truly making the right decision because I do love him very much. How do I handle this guilt? And how do I go about expressing to him why I no longer wish to pursue a romantic relationship? I know you're a very busy person, so if you can't get around to responding, I completely understand. I appreciate your podcast and your positivity. It is truly wonderful and refreshing."
Okay, so Savannah, first off, thank you so much for sharing that. In my work, I have discovered that it is one of the most common things that hold people back from their own expansion is the opinions of others. And especially in romantic relationships, and especially if the person who you're in a romantic relationship with holds different belief structures or just holds a different vibe, because we are in relationships in the beginning because they make us feel a certain way. But then once commitment comes into play, a lot of times it is easy to stay in relationships because of what feels like obligation and responsibility. And that's a wonderful thing if it lifts us higher. That's the thing about being devoted. That's the thing about committing in a good way. But it can also be done in a way that keeps us from going as quickly because we then need to pace ourselves with our partner. Because when you've got two people of a different vibration in a room, they're going to come to the same one. And it's often easier to let your vibration fall than it is to let your vibration speed up, especially if you have, for instance, decades of routines of having a low vibe or traumas keeping you from growing, keeping you from feeling maybe safe enough to try something new, which it sounds like your ex-partner might have had going on. I can't speak for him exactly because he's not the one talking here, but it sounds like he probably had some traumas. He probably had some belief structures. He probably had some fears holding him back. But here's the thing that came to me as I was reading your question is, first off, feeling like if he's feeling like you gave up on him, you guys are both adults. Tis not your responsibility to make sure he leads a happy life. Ever. Tis not your responsibility to make sure that he's okay. He's grown up like you are. And granted, we're all in it together, but we each are towing our own weight. And that's really, really important. So that is an argument that is just not one that you should be giving strength or power to. And secondly, love comes in many, many, many different flavors. You can love someone just as much as you ever did romantically, but not have a romantic flavor anymore. And it's okay for love to change flavors, and it's okay for love to change containers. And that's not something that you need to justify, and that's not something that you need to make okay, because it takes two people to make a relationship. And if your relationship ended up being him bringing you down, you're responsible for your own vibe, but we're also responsible for how we affect the people around us. And it seems to me that maybe he wasn't taking all that much responsibility for how he affected you. And the reason that we are around the people who we choose to be around, whatever kind of relationship it is, whether it be platonic or romantic, is because we make each other feel a certain way. And so if you're bringing someone down, you can't get upset at them for leaving you, straight up. That's just the way that it is. And you can love him in a platonic way, and even in like a familial way, which I know sometimes happens a lot when you're in love with someone, then you fall out of love with them, but you still want to be in each other's lives. It's almost like it changes to a brother-sister kind of love sometimes. And so That's totally fine. And then it is up to him to decide whether or not he wants that with you. Because all you can do is speak your truth. All you can do is be in your truth. And that's also what he needs. A lot of times it's hard for us to hear the truth, especially if it's something that makes us face parts of ourselves that we might not want to, especially if it's something that makes us maybe face the option of we need to feed our own souls rather than expecting our partners to feed our souls. We need to validate ourselves rather than expecting our partners to validate us. And I say that with love, because I will tell you this, it is so, so, so much more delicious and empowering and inspiring to get your energy directly from source than to get it from another person. And so you kind of weaning him off of your chi and saying, no, my chi is for me. And I encourage you to get your own, even though, like any addiction, the withdrawal might be intense at first. You are helping him. Absolutely. And you're definitely helping yourself too, because like I said, you're not responsible for someone else's soul growth. You're only responsible for your own. And all you can do is hold the light. And all you can do is show the way. And so those feelings of, oh no, I'm feeling guilty because I used to bring more light to him and now I'm not. That's codependency falling away. And so when you get into that place, again, it's not up to him to validate you either. It's not up to whether or not he thinks you're a good person to judge whether you are a good person. And so when those feelings come up, what I'd recommend is that you do things that do feed you. Get outside in nature, exercise, bring some conscious media into your environment to inspire you, create art or whatever kind of beauty it is that you create, write something, sing something, dance, do whatever it is you need to do, eat some healthy food to make yourself feel better, and then reevaluate the question later. Because the key is always feeling whole and feeling complete, and each of us is responsible to do that for ourselves.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Sending you a lot of love.
Yes, Savannah. And I'm really proud of you for putting yourself first like that. You know,
yeah.
I mean, you cannot lower your vibration to help somebody else. That's not helping either one of you. It's not helping the whole. So it's really, really important that you try to let go of that guilt, because like Karis just said, you're helping both of you by saying no, by setting that boundary. The power of no is the best, especially when you're putting yourself first, when you're loving yourself and saying, you know what, this isn't good enough for me. It's just not. So I'm proud of you, Savannah.
Yeah, our world has a long history of unhealthy romantic understanding. So the more the more that we can come into our power with this, we not only heal ourselves, but we heal the collective.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Excellent. Okay,
yes.
Let's
Thank
go
you.
To our next question. This question is from Ray. Ray says, hi, Brandon. First, I just wanted to say thank you for the light and love you're transmitting into the collective. I can't tell you how many times it has resonated perfectly with whatever I'm dealing with at the moment. I have a question. You may have already addressed it on the show. If so, please guide me to the right episodes. Ever since I can remember, I've been a passionate explorer of life. When I find something that intrigues me, I immerse myself into it fully. However, I often feel like this is about several things all at the same time and feel conflicted about where to place my energy and focus. I recognize that there are infinite potentialities and I want to explore them all, like a dog that can't decide which car to chase. Lately, I've been working on staying present and being grateful for all I have in this moment. But sometimes it's hard to sit still and not think about my next move. For the past 10 years, I focused on a career path that I feel has brought me extremely valuable experiences, but has led me to a point where I don't want to be anymore. To stick with the analogy, I'm ready to chase a new car, but I just don't know how to choose. I have a family for which I'm the primary provider, so I feel a bit cautious in taking risks. However, I feel like my soul is crying out for these experiences I'm dreaming of. I'm interested to hear some thoughts on this topic. Can you point me in the direction of some enlightenment regarding this? Warmly, Ray. What do you think, Karis?
Awesome, awesome. What a good question this is, and a super common one too, because the answer is you don't have to choose. The answer is different segments of our brains, literally the way our gray matter is arranged in our skulls, different sectors of it handle different stuff. And if you run energy through one of them for a while, it'll get fatigued and energy will want to be run through another one, like working out different muscles in your body. You don't always just work out your calves. You also have to, you know, go and move your arms around, and then you move your back around, then you move your core around. And so that's just the normal life stuff. So if you're interested in a few different things, things, then follow what calls you in that moment. Follow what sounds most interesting to you right then. And it can be a different thing from day to day, because just like I said, parts of our brain will get fatigued. That also means it takes them time to regrow and regenerate. So you might notice, remember when you're in school and you're working really hard in your head all day, and then you come home and you don't want to think, you just want to run around and do something active, or you just want to create some type of art. It's because we are multidimensional beings. We are multifaceted beings, and it's okay to do things in bits and pieces here and there. And when in doubt, follow your highest excitement. Follow what's calling you the most. Follow what's glittering the most in your mind, what sounds most fun and interesting. And you can pick things up and put them down all you want. There's no scorecard. You can't lose at this game because it's collecting around you. So just do what feels right and let yourself change your mind as much as you want. Now, if you do want to say commit, say there's a project you want to do, you want to commit and devote yourself to it, that's absolutely fine. You're totally allowed. And then that's almost a different kind of game. That's a different kind of thing, because then you're going to go through different challenges. Some days you're not going to want to do it and you're going to go, no, I'm going to do this. Like, say, you know, a yoga practice or anything. There's this great hashtag that you see on Instagram or whatever a lot that's yoga every damn day. And sometimes doing yoga is great. Sometimes doing yoga is exciting. And sometimes, I know sometimes when I do yoga, I am bitching and complaining in my mind like the whole first 3/4 of the entire yoga routine. But then by the end, you beat it and you feel so good. And so sometimes that's it. But unless you've committed, unless that's what you're going for, you don't have to go that route. The way that our education and even our society works makes us think we have to do that all the time. And that's not actually true. You can dance around and you can do what calls you. So when in doubt, do what sounds the most fun. And you can always pick up where you left off at any of these projects that you've been sitting down.
Yep, absolutely. That's great advice, Karis. I understand, Ray, too, what you're saying about being that primary provider for your family, because it makes things a little scarier. You know, you have to be the breadwinner. And so you don't want to just leave a job in hopes that, you know, this newfound thing that you want to do is going to provide. And so this reminds me of an Abraham Hicks clip that I listened to a while back, where she said, you know, okay, don't just drop it right now. Set your sights on that thing. See you doing that thing. And when that thing is there, then it'll be all set up and ready. And so you don't have that lag of really stressing yourself out when it's not quite in your lap yet. But see it in your mind. Imagine what it feels like to be doing that thing every single day. Feel the feelings, taste what it tastes like in your mouth, you know, feels like in your body, it feels like emotionally. And then it's in your lap. And in the meantime, stay in the now and be peaceful with your now, because really that's the best we can all do, is be happy in our now and peaceful in our now, while we're setting our sights on knowing that this is what my future is, and absolutely knowing and feeling it, that this is what's in my path. Yeah.
Amen. And there's something I want to clarify. When I was talking about dancing around through different things, I was meaning in your recreational time. That's what I was thinking about, in your recreational time. And when it comes to being a breadwinner, when it comes to doing the 3D, humaning, adulting, that kind of stuff, it is important. But you can say, especially because we live in a conscious universe, that's something all you positive heads know. We live in a conscious universe. There is a greater wisdom. There is a greater divine order that is guiding us and that's leading us and that's helping us to decide what to do. Not only is it an internal call, but it's also an external call. And it's totally okay to say, all right, universe, you want me to do something? Make it make sense.
Mm-hmm. Make it happen, number one.
To feed my family. Yeah, let me be able to feed my family. I'm not just going to go run off and go do something crazy and then suffer for it later. That's not what the divine order wants.
Right.
But it might be saying, ooh, this is a really interesting topic of interest here, because 5 years from now, that will be what I'm a master at. Mm-hmm. But right now, one thing that I often tell people over and over in my work is, do the thing that you could do in your sleep to pay the bills. Don't try to pay the bills with the new thing you're interested in, because you're not a master at that yet. And you don't want to be giving out a broken code, an incomplete code. So do the thing that you could do in your sleep to pay the bills. And then the rest of the time, learn and grow and examine the new stuff. But don't necessarily expect the brand new to be able to be the grounded thing that you're standing on yet, because that's not the way it often goes.
Exactly.
And that's okay.
Yep. And like dominoes, it'll just fall into place. That's what is in the highest and best for you. And you get to decide that. So that's the beautiful part about life.
Yes.
All right. I think we have time for another. What do you think, Karis?
Let's do it.
All right. This one is from Kate. And I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. C-A-I-T. Okay.
Okay. Kate Sorry, says, Kate, if not. We understand.
Right. So Kate says, just wanted to say first off that I love the podcast. I've been on my spiritual journey for about a year or two, but I only started listening to the podcast a few months ago. It has not only enhanced my journey, positivity, and daily life, but the overflowing abundance I've been receiving since listening is incredible. What really made me decide to reach out to you is just the other day I was walking on the beach and listening to an old episode. I think it was number 418. As I'm walking, you are reading a review where someone is saying you spoke in a podcast of a white feather, and they saw a white feather, and then you saw a white feather. So just as you're saying the words, if you're listening, see a white feather and take it as a sign from the universe that you are on the right path. At that moment, I look down and see a white feather. That was an unreal moment for me as I realized from listening and just before more conscious in my daily life, I had created so many amazing opportunities for myself. So thank you for the podcast and all that you do. Of course, I have a question. I have a lot of questions, but this one I've been thinking about quite a bit. I've always believed in karma as the philosophy behind it just made sense to me. In a book I'm reading, it tells a tale of Buddha in a past life as a gorilla, where he helps a hunter out of a hole and offers to lead the hunter out to the woods to safety. But the hunter instead kills Buddha, the gorilla. As the hunter shoots the gorilla, Buddha says, "How sad. Now you will never know happiness." This struck me because I do understand karma, but now I'm wondering, if we create our reality with our thoughts, then where does karma come into play? We all make mistakes and do things we are not proud of, but we are new in each moment, with each breath, and can at any time make the conscious effort to be our best self and in tune with our higher self, then why should we, quote unquote, pay the price for acts we've done previously? Just curious on your thoughts about this, or if there is already an episode relating to this topic, if you could point me to it. Thanks so much. Namaste. Go for it, Karis.
Okay, yeah, there are a few things. I have some thoughts. So first off, thank you for asking. That's a question that comes up a lot. And We are at a place in our planetary destiny and in our destiny as the race of humans that this is shifting a little bit. It's true. Some of the karmic bonds are being released. But before I get super into that, let's just say there are certain rules in the world we live in. And it's not a morality thing. It's an equation thing. It's an equation and a scientific thing, like gravity, for instance. You drop something, it falls to the floor. It's not because it's bad and it needs to bonk itself on the floor to make itself good. It's because that's just the way that it goes. And the way that karma is, it's gravitational pulls and it's bouncing back and forth. And so when you do something that karmically imbalances a certain equation, it has to come back and be balanced. And sometimes that happens by the same thing happening to you that happened to the other person. But at sometimes it can happen just by a deep feeling, or it can happen by some other kind of experience. It's just somehow balances that equation. And so it's not about necessarily morality. That's one of the ways that people try to explain karma, but that's not necessarily how karma actually literally works. It's just a natural law. It's a natural order. But that said, we are at a place in our planetary consciousness and in our understanding of how the laws of nature and reality and even multidimensionality work, that as we more and more understand the greater scope and the greater geometry of things like karma, it's as if those chains start to unbind from us. But it's important that, and this is where morality does come in. Now, they don't unbind if you just understand them cognitively. You have to understand them with your heart. And as you understand them with not just your positive head, but your positive heart, that's when they loosen. Because it's kind of like, even if you look in the Bible verses, at some point they basically say, I'm going to paraphrase this, so hope I don't offend anyone. But it's basically like, if you commit a sin saying, oops, I know I'm going to get forgiven, so I'm going to go ahead and commit this, you don't get forgiven for that because you're trying to abuse the system. And the system's there for a reason. It's the path that we all came to evolve on and to have this game on that we are in human form playing. So karma is more like us understanding all pieces of the puzzle. It's not getting punished for doing something bad. It's understanding all the facets of experience. Now, that said, I do also want to say something that just came up as I was reading your question, and it's that you have to watch out for things like always and never, because I understand that authors and people who are telling stories put them in to make it more intense and to make it pack a heavier punch. But as soon as someone says always and never, they're not exactly true, because we are in an infinite universe. We all go through every experience eventually. And so I don't think what Buddha actually said, if he ever said that at all, or what he actually meant was, so sad, you will never experience happiness. It's probably just that, yeah, you kind of screwed yourself for longer than you might have done otherwise. And it's going to take you longer to get around to it. But you will, all of us will eventually reach the source of exactly what it is we're trying to get to. And because we can't help it, we're in a gravitational pull. We're going to eventually fall there. Like gravity, it's going to happen. So don't freak yourself out too much about it. But do know that if there's something, this is the thing, if there's some type of past karma that you or anyone listening to this is trying to escape, if there's something that you did, you're like, oh, I don't want to have to necessarily pay for that, then know, and this is where also that Christ-like frequency of true remorse, asking for forgiveness, that's how it comes in. You don't necessarily have to go through the other end of it if you've understood now more than you did at the time of committing the wrong, that it was wrong, and that you're authentically, genuinely sorry and ask for forgiveness. It will be given you. You don't have to then worry about something coming and falling on your head later. But if you somehow deep in your mind think that maybe you deserve that, it might eventually happen. However, that said, if it does, we are resilient beings and you'll be okay and all will be well. It's all just about balancing out those equations.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna quote the Law of One here. So in the Law of One, this is one of my favorite lines from those books, but in forgiveness lies the stoppage of the wheel of karma. Right?
Wow. I felt that in my heart.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And that could not be more true. You have to forgive yourself and the other person, the situation. And when you can truly do that, that's when you break the cycle. It's just that's easier said than done. And that's okay. We do that in baby steps sometimes. Just keep reminding yourself, I forgive myself. Really, it's important to forgive yourself more so than it is to forgive the situation or the other person. Because it's really you here learning these lessons every day. You're feeling the feelings. You're making the decisions that the subsequent decisions that are coming up in the next situation. So are you going to make a better decision next time because you've learned, because you've forgiven, because you found that love in your heart? So forgiveness, geez, we can't talk about it enough, can we, Cars?
Oh my gosh. It's a superpower. And yeah. It's hard. Yeah. And you have to wait till you're ready, but definitely strive that way.
Oh yeah. Oh, love it. Okay. One more. Wow. And then we'll sign off for today. But I love this question and I don't want to go anywhere without doing this question. So this question is from Luke. Hello, Brandon. I have a very curious question. How do you tell the difference between anxious thoughts and messages from spirit? I have found a lot of evidence to suggest messages from spirit are not good or bad, and sometimes they can give a person messages which may cause anxiety. However, the human part of us also produces a lot of anxiety, most of it unfounded, which comes from the human animal brain. Anxiety being the most common mental disorder in the Western world. Clearly, most of this anxiety is a result of our unnatural living conditions, skyscrapers, traffic, etc. Therefore, it would obviously not be anxiety from spirit messages. How does a person know the difference between a message from spirit and run-of-the-mill anxiety? A near-death experiencer named Linda told me messages from spirit are not surface-level thoughts, but are deeper. Not sure what that means, but I believe she gave me a clue on how to start to differentiate between anxiety and the messages from spirit. Thank you, and I hope to hear back from you, Luke.
Awesome. Okay, there are definitely some gems in this question because hearing our spirit guides and hearing our internal spirit wisdom, whether or not you believe in guides or just a knowingness within yourself, it is a talent that can be honed. It's not something that you necessarily just have or don't have. It's something that can be learned. And when you were talking about anxiety, as far as I understand it, guidance from spirit is not usually anxious. No, it's not. It's kind of like you can freak out about a potential tragedy and freak out and freak out and freak out. But 9 times out of 10, when that tragedy happens, you're not actually freaking out. You just deal with it. You deal with it. And then later, then you freak out and you have to integrate and you have to have the shakes and everything like that. But at the time, and that's how messages from spirit are. When it comes to, you're just like, okay, go left, go right, do whatever. It's not so much, oh no, what if this happens? Oh no, oh no, no, no. That's probably not spirit. That's probably your human mind coming in and being like, oh, basically if it's ever an oh no, it's probably not spirit. That's not the way that spirit communicates. That's not the language of spirit. The language of spirit is just an understanding of how things are and saying, okay, this is where I should go. This is where I shouldn't go. But even if it's where you shouldn't go, even if you get a no on something because it's, say, dangerous or there's something there that's not going to be good for you, it doesn't usually come with a lot of emotional drama feelings. It's just a knowingness. It's just a boundary. It's no. So if you're feeling something and it's causing you that internal anxiety, that kind of scattered flutteriness in your heart, in your stomach, whatever, that's probably not from spirit. That doesn't mean you shouldn't follow it. It still might be your natural understanding of what you should and shouldn't do, but know that that's probably your own human understanding of what it is. And it still might be valuable info. But if you're wondering if it's a spirit message or not, spirit messages are calm and they have a deeper resonance to them, like a deeper echo to them in you. They go through your body, not just in your head. They're an understanding like a gravitational pull or like some type of gut feeling, not only whirring thoughts in your mind. If it's a circular whirring thought in your head, it's not a message from spirit 9 times out of 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. And for me, when I get messages from spirit, it was really hard to discern this. And it does take a lot of practice, like you said, Karis. Like, it takes a lot of practice. but I started hearing things on different sides of my head. So when it's my conscious mind, I hear it on one side. And when it's messages from spirit, I hear it on another side. And the messages from spirit kind of come in without even me asking. Like, it's just like a whoosh. And it's like, oh, that I wasn't even thinking about anything in my brain, but this message just came in. And that message was loving. There was no fear at all. So how does it feel? Again, you always ask yourself, how does this message feel? If it feels fearful or anxious, it's like you said, Karis, not a message from spirit. It's probably just your head. So yeah, be patient with yourself, Luke, with this discernment process. It does take some time, and see if you do hear things on different sides of your head, because that really helped me at first. And the feelings, of course, the main feeling from spirit is love.
Yes, yes. And deep knowledge. And here's a tip for anyone who's wanting to understand their intuitive connection to source more. Keep a spirit journal. Mm-hmm. Keep a journal of little insights you get. Write them down. And then from time to time, doesn't have to be often, maybe once a month or something, come back and look at what you wrote down. Write them down and date them. And then come back and look, and you can see what came true and what didn't. And not only what came true and what didn't, but of the things that did come true, you can see how to discern and how to interpret. Because with any type of divination, whether it just be in your head, whether it be some type of scrying, whether it be a pendulum, whether it be a bowl of water under the full moon, whatever it is, we all have a language that we think of things in a way that our minds interpret messages from spirit. So over time of you recording these and then seeing how they played out, you'll learn your own internal language better and better. And you would be surprised, because it's probably not what you expect. It hardly ever is. But over time, it gets easier and easier, and you can trust it better. You can say, ding, ding, ding. Okay, that energy I know, and that's always correct, and it means this and this and this. Or, and even to this day, I, as an intuitive and as someone who's been a practicing full-time intuitive for over 15 years, I can say, sometimes I'm like, nope, this is what it is. And sometimes I'm like, well, it's something about this, but I'm not exactly sure. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes they're clear and sometimes they're not, just like anything in life. It's mm-hmm. not a binary thing. It's a spectrum.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. All right, Karis, I think we tackled some good questions and hopefully helped a lot of people today.
Yay. Well, sending all love out to everyone listening. Thank you guys so much. You know, it's interesting because this podcast is so powerful and I can feel you guys. And you guys are awesome. Yeah, I love what Brandon has created and the huge network of just good, whole, empowering and intuitively delicious energy that is reaching all over the world as a result of Positive Head. So thank you guys so much for co-creating this amazingness.
Yes, Karis, what song are we going to go out with today?
Let's go out with From the Ground Up by Alyn Nero. I played this once on the East Coast, where somewhere I don't think it ever been played before. And I swear I felt the spirits of the land coming around and being like, oh, what is this? We like it. So let it lift you.
Awesome. All right. Till next time, you guys. We love you.
Love. Bye.
As a wave across the land, we are moving, moving. Say no, face the change these bodies make and the way they are. Facing forward, shoulder to the storm, telling of moving it. Takes one step, takes your voice, saying, I am not hearing if you are not naming it. I am not stopping if you are not changing it. Here are my hands, let's see what they're making. In the morning, in the rise up, there's a bridge from all that's been. In the dawning, the vines are pushing through the pavement. We were born. Stopping if you are not changing it. Here are my hands, let's see what they're making. In the morning, in the rise up, there's a bridge from all that's been. With the dawning, the vines are pushing through the pavement. We were born of burning hearts. We are tearing off the reins. From the ground up, we will build it. From the clouds above, we'll rain it. From the crowd up, we will raise it.
We were born of burning rising. From the clouds.
From the ground up we will build it. From the clouds above we'll rain it. From the crowd up we will raise it. From the ground up.